And now for reading and writing and radio.
Sitting at the table, busily mixing and measuring, was the man who had invited them in. He was wearing a long white coat with a stethoscope around his neck and a small round mirror attached to his forehead, and the only really noticeable things about him were his tiny mustache and his enormous ears, each of which was fully as large as his head. "Are you a doctor?" asked Milo, trying to feel as well as possible. "I am Cacophonous A. Discord, Doctor of Dissonance," roared the man, and as he spoke, several small explosions and a grinding crash were heard. "What does the A stand for?" stammered the nervous bug, too frightened to move. "As loud as possible," bellowed the doctor, and two screeches and a bump accompanied his response. "Now, step a little closer and stick out your tongue." "Just as I suspected," he continued, opening a large dusty book and thumbing through the pages, "you are suffering from a severe lack of noise."
The author of that discord is Norton Juster from the book The Phantom Toll Booth. But you can make a racket too.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Back to our story of the Phantom Toll Booth. Milo looks around and sees that there are all sorts of bottles on the shelves labeled loud cries, soft cries, bangs, bongs, smashes, crashes, swishes, swooshes, snaps and crackles, whistles and gongs, squeaks, squawks, and miscellaneous uproar. "Just what kind of a doctor are you?" he asked suspiciously. "Well, you might say I'm a specialist," said the doctor. "I specialize in noise, all kinds, from the loudest to the softest, and from the slightly annoying to the terribly unpleasant. For instance, have you ever heard a square-wheeled steamroller ride over a street full of hard-boiled eggs?" And as he said that, all that could be heard were loud crunching noises. "But who would want to hear all those terrible noises?" asked Milo, holding his ears. "Everybody does," said the surprised doctor. "They're very popular today. Why, I'm kept so busy I can hardly fill the orders for noise pills, racket lotion, clamor salve, and hubbub tonic. That's all people seem to want these days. Years ago, everyone wanted pleasant sounds, and except for a few orders during wars and earthquakes, things were very bad. But then the big cities were built, and there was a great need for honking horns, screeching trains, clanging bells, deafening shouts, piercing shrieks, gurgling drains, and all the rest of those wonderfully unpleasant sounds we use so much of today. Without them, people would be very unhappy, so I make sure that they get as much as they want. Why, if you take a little of my medicine every day, you'll never have to hear a beautiful sound again. Here, try some." And kids, what we're going to do now is have you try some. So take a pencil and paper, if you have it ready, and number it from 1 to 11. And if you don't have it ready, why, then just listen in, remember in your heads. So here we go with 11 of Dr. Discord's medicine, unpleasant sounds.
Thank you.
Well, here are the answers. The first was a chainsaw, then a lathe. The third was a window breaking. The fourth, a car horn. The fifth was wind, really hurricane force, gale force. Sixth was somebody snoring. The seventh was the telephone ringing. And eight, we had somebody screaming and screaming. The ninth was, that was the machine gun. Number 10, maybe you didn't get that. That was pulling a nail out of a crate. And 11 was a car crash. Well, to go on with our story, how'd you do, by the way? Dr. Discord introduces the din. He pulls a plug out of a bottle. Very faintly at first, they heard a low rumbling that sounded miles away. It grew louder and louder and louder and closer and closer and closer until it became a deafening, ear-splitting roar that seemed to be coming from inside the tiny bottle. Then from the bottle, a thick bluish smog spiraled to the ceiling, spread out, and gradually assumed the shape of a thick bluish smog with hands, feet, bright yellow eyes, and a large frowning mouth. "This is my assistant, the awful Din," said Dr. Discord, and that's spelled D-Y-N-N-E. "What is a din?" asked Milo when he had recovered from the shock of seeing him appear. "You mean you've never heard met the awful din before?" said Dr. Discord. "Why, I thought everyone had. When you're playing in your room and making a great amount of noise, what do they tell you to stop?" "That awful din," admitted Milo. "When the neighbors are playing their radio too loud late at night, what do you wish they'd turn down?" "The awful din," answered Tok the dog. Well, I'm going to leave the doctor and din at this point and move on with Milo, because I want to meet the sound keeper before we finish this program. So they're going along in their little car, and everything seems all right, but suddenly Milo notices something odd. Things look the same, they smell the same, but Tok was no longer ticking, and the humbug, although happily singing, was doing so in complete silence. The wind no longer rustled the leaves, the car no longer squeaked, and the insects no longer buzzed in the fields. Not the slightest thing could be heard, and it felt as if in some mysterious way a switch had been thrown and all the sound in the world had been turned off at the same instant. Well, they soon find out from the inhabitants what has happened, and they write to him on a blackboard what the trouble is, because they can't be heard. "At a place in the valley not far from here," he began on the blackboard, "where the echoes used to gather and the winds came to rest, there is a great stone fortress, and in it lives the sound keeper who rules this land. When the old king of wisdom drove the demons into the distant mountains, he appointed her guardian of all the sounds and noises, past, present, and future. For years she ruled as a wise and beloved monarch, each morning at sunrise, releasing the day's new sounds to be borne by the winds throughout the kingdom, and each night at moonset gathering in the old sounds to be catalogued and filed in the vast storage vaults below." The writer paused for a moment to mop his brow, and then, since the blackboard was full, erased it completely and continued anew from the top. "She was generous to a fault and provided us with all the sound we could possibly use, for singing as we worked, for bubbling pots of stew, the chop of an axe, the crash of a tree, for the creak of a hinge and the hoot of an owl, for the squish of a shoe in the mud and the friendly tapping of rain on the roof, and for the sweet music of pipes and the sharp snap of winter ice cracking on the ground." And he goes on telling the story and then tells how people began to listen less and less. And they also brought in lots of discordant noises that the soundkeeper didn't like. And finally, she became angry with them, and she issued an edict that from this day forward, the Valley of Sound shall be silent, since sound is no longer appreciated. I hereby abolish it. Please return all unused amounts to the fortress immediately. And that's the way it has been ever since, he concluded sadly. Well, they say that if Milo can get in and see the sound keeper and bring back from the fortress one sound, no matter how small, they can load it in their cannon, and if they can reach the walls of the fortress with the slightest noise, the walls will collapse and free all the rest of the sounds. So Milo says he'll do it, and he goes up to the fortress. "Knock, knock," he wrote neatly on a piece of paper, which he pushed under the crack. In a moment, the great portal swung open, and as it closed behind him, a gentle voice sang out, "Right here, I'm in the parlor." "Can I talk now?" cried Milo happily, hearing his voice once again. And he goes in, and he sees the sound keeper, and she is sitting in front of an enormous radio set with all sorts of switches and dials and knobs and meters, which at the moment was playing nothing. "Isn't that lovely?" she sighed. "It's my favorite program. 15 minutes of silence, and after that there's a half hour of quiet, and then an interlude of lull. Why, did you know that there are almost as many kinds of silence as there are sounds? But still, sadly enough, no one pays any attention to them these days. Have you ever heard the wonderful stillness just before the dawn?" she inquired. "Or the quiet and calm just as a storm ends? Or perhaps you know the silence when you haven't the answer to a question you've been asked, or the hush of a country road at night, or the expectant pause in a room full of people when someone is just about to speak. Or, most beautiful of all, the moment after the door closes and you're all alone in the whole house. Each one is different, you know, and all very beautiful as if you listen carefully." Here, kids, let's have a moment of hush. The silence that comes when a whole class is listening to reading and writing and radio, and Jackie Jackson quits talking. Wasn't that lovely? Let's go on with our story. She takes him down into the basements and shows him the immense vaults where all the sounds are kept, and she tells him that here is the exact sound, for instance, that George Washington whistled when he crossed the Delaware on that icy night in 1777, and Milo peeks into the envelope, and sure enough, that's exactly what was in it. "But why do you collect them all?" she says. "If we didn't collect them," said the sound keeper, "the air would be full of old sounds and noises bouncing around and bumping into things. It would be terribly confusing, because you'd never know whether you were listening to an old one or a new one. Besides, I like to collect everything. Why, I have everything here from the buzz of a mosquito a million years ago to what your mother said to you this morning." Well, Milo tries to get her to give him just a little sound for a souvenir. You know, he wants to go back out and break down the walls, but she doesn't do that. She won't. And so they go through the workshops, and she shows him where the sounds are invented. He doesn't think sounds have to be invented. She says, first you must decide exactly what the sound looks like, for each sound has its own exact size and shape. Then we make some of them right here in the shop and grind each one 3 times into an invisible powder and throw a little of each into the air every time you need it. And Milo sees her demonstrate. She picks up a padded stick and strikes a nearby bass drum 6 times. 6 large, woolly, fluffy cotton balls, each about 2 feet across, rolled silently out onto the floor. "You see," she said, putting them into a large grinder. "Now listen." And she takes a pinch of the invisible powder, throws it into the air with a boom, 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 boom. "Do you know what a hand clap looks like?" So he claps his hand, and a single sheet of clean white paper fluttered to the floor. And he tries it again, and more paper comes, and then he really claps hard, and all sorts of white paper comes. And she says, "It's the same for all sounds. If you think about it, you'll soon know what each one looks like. Take laughter, for instance." And she laughs, and the tiny, brightly colored bubbles fly into the air and pop noiselessly. "Or speech," she continued. "Some of it is light and airy, some sharp and pointed, but most of it, I'm afraid, is just heavy and dull." Well, we're going to skip along a little, but Milo, in talking, realizes that when he has said a word, that if he starts to say it but doesn't quite, he's still got it on the tip of his tongue, and he thinks if he can save it and get it back outdoors, outside, to the walls. So without saying thank you or good afternoon, he just nods his head and races out the door. He gets back out to where the others are. He stands up to the front of the cannon. The word was butt. "I hope no one gets hurt," thought Milo, and before he had time to think again, an immense cloud of gray and white smoke leaped from the gun, and along with it, so softly that it was hardly heard, came the sound of butt. It flew toward the wall. It hits the wall very quietly. And then almost immediately there was a blasting, roaring, thundering smash, followed by a crushing, shattering, bursting crash, as every stone in the fortress came toppling to the ground and the vaults burst open, spilling the sounds of history into the wind. Every sound that had ever been uttered or made, from way back to when there were none, to way up to when there were too many, came hurtling out of the debris in a way that sounded as though everyone in the world was laughing, whistling, shouting, crying, singing, whispering, humming, screaming, coughing, and sneezing all at the same time. There were bits of old speeches floating about, as well as recited lessons, gunshots from old wars, babies' cries, auto horns, waterfalls, electric fans, galloping horses, and a great deal of everything else. And then they all vanished over the hills, and things were normal again. Well, everybody's happy but the poor old soundkeeper. And so Milo tries to console her, and she says, well, that's all right, that's all right. And as they continue on their journey, she says, what a long, hard journey that will be. You'll need some nourishment, she cried, handing Milo a small brown package, neatly wrapped and tied with string. Now remember, they're not for eating, but for listening, because you'll often be hungry for sounds as well as food. Hear our street noises at night, train whistles a long way off, dry leaves burning, busy department stores, crunching toast, creaking bed springs, and, of course, all kinds of laughter. There's a little of each, and in far-off, lonely places, I think you'll be glad to have them. Now, kids, let's hear some of those nourishing sounds that the sound keeper gave to Milo. Number your papers again, I think from 1 to 12, and see if you can identify these nice sounds. First one was a horse whinnying. The second one were geese flying north or flying south, one of my favorite sounds. And so is the third, a favorite, a steam locomotive in the distance. The fourth you recognize as your dog lapping up its water. The fifth, you're sitting on a porch swing, squeaking back and forth as you swing. The sixth are frogs and peepers and a big bullfrog in a pond. The seventh is your cat, probably wanting breakfast or to be patted. And eighth is breakfast, but maybe not for the cat. It's frying pan sizzle, eggs and bacon, probably. The ninth was a tap dance routine. 10th was a pig snuffling around. The 11th was an owl. And the last one you all recognize as you kids all shouting and having a happy time on the playground. Well, what'll we write about today? Let's write about sounds, discord and din, or nourishing sounds. Sounds that you like, sounds that you can't stand, frightening sounds, comforting sounds. You'll need to listen to sounds in order to write about sounds. Try using good-sounding words that describe the sounds that often sound like the sounds. Don't make your speech heavy and dull, as the soundkeeper says that most speech is. You can tell sound stories where hearing something made a difference to you. And remember that there is also another kind of listening, another kind of sound, and that is the meaning behind the sounds that you hear. And when you can hear behind the sounds, why then you are listening with your heart. And that is the most important listening of all.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.